Hello, and welcome to the Muslim Sheroes of Minnesota podcast, where we spotlight the Muslim women of the Minnesota community. My name is Nosheena Hussain, and I am the Executive Director of RISE, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment. Our mission is to amplify the voice and power of Muslim women through storytelling, leadership development, and civic engagement. What is a Shiro? A Shiro is a female trailblazer who is creating change in her community. She takes risks, she challenges misconceptions, and addresses injustices. Shiros are on a mission to build a better world, and the sisterhood is here to support them and lift their voices. We are joined today by Sumaira Islam, a local community activist, volunteer, mom, and corporate tycoon. Welcome, Sumaira.
Thank you, Nosheena. Walaikum assalam, and thanks for having me on your program.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your background, Sumaira. Where did you grow up, and how did you end up in Minnesota?
So I was born in Karachi, Pakistan, and I spent my childhood there. I was there until I was 13, and then my family moved to Nigeria, and that's where I did my high school. I was there in Nigeria up until I was 16, and then moved to California, where my grandparents and my aunts and uncle were. So in California, I was there. I started college right away, and I did my undergrad in California, and then got married to guy who lived in Minnesota. So that's how I moved to Minnesota about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm.
And where did you go to school?
So after I moved to my undergrad, I did at University of California, Irvine. Okay. And then after moving to Minnesota, I did my MBA in finance at University of St. Thomas.
Okay. So what keeps you busy during the day?
So my finance degree is what has been the driving force in my career. So I work as a senior financial consultant at Optum, which is a United Health Group company. It's has a huge presence in the Twin Cities and across the globe. Mm-hmm. And that's my full-time job.
Yeah. So recently, Sumaira, I saw some diversity campaign from United Health Group and was pleasantly surprised to see you on their campaign. Tell us a little bit about that and why you got involved and why you think it's important.
Yeah, that was a very interesting experience. I was approached by our marketing team at United Health Group. They were profiling employees who lived the United values outside of the company in their daily lives. And on my company profile, they noticed that I was a community volunteer, I was involved in my children's school, I was involved in a lot of interfaith activities. Mm-hmm. So that fit in with the values of United Health Group of being, you know, compassionate, being having integrity and all those things. So they were interested in profiling me as an employee and as an active community member. That was a great experience. The photo shoot was great, and I thought it would be good for people at United as well as outside the company to see that Muslim women are doing different things, not the atypical, stereotypical things that they know about Muslim women. And Unite is a Fortune 6 company, so it's important for people to see that women are involved in corporate America as well as in their communities and are playing a vital role.
I heard you talk a little bit about your children and the fact that you volunteer in your children's school. So your children actually attend a private school. So why did you choose that route?
My husband and I, we always, even before the children were born, wanted our children to go to an Islamic school. And it worked out really well for us because we have one in the Twin Cities. We felt like it was really important for the children to be strong and comfortable in their Muslim identity. And the Islamic school provides a secular as well as religious education. And we thought it would be very important to have well-rounded citizens that had, you know, both a strong faith identity as well as an American identity.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you show up at the school? Like, what kinds of things have you been involved in?
I started as a volunteer when the kids were younger. I would, you know, volunteer in their class activities and their field trips, in planning teacher appreciation week. And, you know, as the children got older, the current board invited me to join their board. Saw my qualifications and my dedication to the school. And I really feel, you know, education is such a huge part of how we develop. It's such a huge part of who we are. So I joined the board. It's the first woman to join the board. So wow. That was a great step.
Yeah. We don't hear often about Muslim women serving on boards in our Islamic organizations. How has that been a different experience for you at the Islamic school?
I think, you know, up until now, I think the hesitation was that it's too much of a time commitment. I have too many other things that would prevent me from being involved. But I think that's not true. And I think a lot of Muslim women step away from that case because, first of all, they think it's a, you know, quote unquote, man's world. There are all these Muslim, there are all these men, you know, who the Muslim women kind of find it intimidating. But, you know, once you do, you feel like, you know, you have just as much to offer. You have, in fact, you know, a lot of times you see things from a different perspective, yeah. which people, you know, who are there don't see. And it's all about managing your time and managing your commitments because, you know, all of us have so many different things going on. So it's about managing commitments, setting expectations. You know, I had worked it out with the board that I will not be there past 9:30 at the meetings because it just wasn't feasible. You know, I needed to get back home, yeah. attend to my children, you know, get ready for work the next day and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and it worked out, you know, the board and the administration, everybody was accommodating and, yeah. you know, and since then, more Muslim women have joined the board.
Fantastic. So you're really disrupting the status quo mm-hmm. of how things operated in this board and in their board meetings so that it is more inclusive to women and women's sort of schedule and responsibilities.
Yeah, and I'm very happy and I'm very thankful for that. I don't think there was any pushback from anybody. It was, I think a lot of it comes in a lot of different situations. It comes from us women too, that we shortchange ourselves. We feel like, you know, we can't do it, or, you know, we can do it, but we don't prioritize it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we feel like just things that we really like to do or we can contribute a lot of times takes a backseat.
Yeah.
With the things that we do. And I would like to mention, though, that, you know, I'm a firm believer in everything has a time. I know I would not have been able to be so involved with the community at an earlier phase in my life when the children were little.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get that. I'm a firm believer there's a time for everything. You have to, of course, prioritize. So this was with the right time. The kids were older. My career was more stable.
Yeah.
You know, I was more developed professionally. I could offer more to the board, so it worked out very well and was yeah. well received.
So what do your kids think of you as on a board member?
Oh, they were a little hesitant.
Yeah.
They were a little nervous. They don't really want their friends to know that mom is on the board.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've gotten used to the idea. It's been almost 4 years. And
okay.
So, yeah, it's worked out. But it's interesting because anytime there's an issue, they'll be like, Mom, you should do this. You're on the board of the school.
Oh, so they're your personal board.
They're my personal board. And
so you volunteer in a lot of different capacities in the community, Samara. So I'm really impressed to see some of the things that you've been doing. We were talking about how Minnesota has lower incarceration per capita rates as compared to the rest of the country. In Shakopee, there is a women-only state prison. And my understanding is that you do some volunteer work there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's only one women's prison, state prison in Minnesota. And I got involved in it about 4 or 5 years ago, thanks to another Shiro, Kassar Hussein, who was a volunteer at that time. So as you know, unfortunately, as the population has increased, the incarceration rates amongst Muslim women have increased too. A number of years ago when the first Muslim women started coming into the prison system, Minnesota Correctional Facility, Shakopee, reached out to the Islamic Center of Minnesota. The prison system has a number of programming for the offenders. You know, they have things like AA, arts and crafts, you know, religious programming, and they felt that there was a need for Muslim programming as well. So they reached out to the Islamic Center of Minnesota, and that's how the program started. Right now, we're not affiliated with any organization, but another friend and I, we go to the prison once a month for a few hours. We're currently working on expanding to go so we could go more frequently. And we offer you know, are the people who attend are not just Muslim women, they're non-Muslim women as well. And the goal is to bring the Muslim women closer to their faith, to help them with their Muslim identity, you know, help them practice their religion in the prison system. And a lot of the non-Muslim women come, we're just educating them. You know, a lot of them have had no experience with Islam, or have only know of Islam what they've seen on TV. And we want to kind of shatter those stereotypical images that they've seen and show them that, you know, what a true Muslim looks like. And we've received very positive feedback. You know, the non-Muslim women, they'd be like, you know, oh, I didn't know that this happened, or, you know, I didn't know, you know, Muslims can be this way. So we've had some great experience with that program.
Can you give me an example of, like, an encounter you've had with either a Muslim inmate or somebody from a different faith?
So the Muslim women, for example, with Muslim women, a lot of them would be like, you know, just being in here, I'm, you know, they're away from family, they're away from their Muslim family members. So us going there, kind of, you know, they'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I wanted this prayer mat, you know, and I've been looking for these scarves, and I, you know, nobody's been able to provide this for me. Or just recently, we've had a lot of requests for books. So we would provide them with Islamic books, other books, you know, a lot of, you know, just good reading material too. Because it's all kind of, you know, volunteer based. So the prison does provide some things, but obviously they're not able to fulfill every need. So just kind of seeing that, you know, just recently was, you know, it was a great experience that she's like, oh, I've been looking for this book, can you get this for me? And, you know, we were able to provide those books and a few others, and they were so happy, like, oh, I have something good to read now. And so just little experiences like this, you know, I know they look forward to seeing us, to coming to the class and just being, you know, away from being, feel quote unquote like normal. They're being in the normal environment where they're able to kind of talk about their faith, learn different things. And for the non-Muslim women too, they'll come with their friends, you know, and then learn something new.
So we talked a bit about like the sort of interfaith aspect of being at the prison, but you've also done other interfaith activities. Recently you joined a book club. How'd you get involved in that?
It's called Daughters of Abraham. It's a national book club, and there are chapters across the U.S. And just recently a friend of mine approached me. This was like earlier this year, I think 2017, that there was no chapter. She noticed there were chapters across the U.S. and there was no chapter in the Twin Cities. So she's Muslim. She approached the steering committee in Boston that, you know, that she's interested. And it just so happened that the steering committee said, you know, we've had a request from a Jewish woman and from a Christian woman from the Twin Cities requesting to start a chapter. So it was, you know, fate, I guess. And everybody kind of reached out at the same time. And this book club, the Daughters of Abraham chapter, Twin Cities chapter was started. The setup is such there are four women from each faith, from the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, and Islamic faith. So there's 12 of us, and there's a list of books that the steering committee has recommended, and we read a book, you know, every other month or so. We're on our fourth book now, and I really do feel I've learned a lot about other faiths. You know, that it's really opened up my mind, and I feel like I've helped the other women understand Islam as well.
What book are you reading right now?
We just finished reading a collection of essays, which was called My Neighbor's Faith, and it was an interesting read, at times very academic, and at times you know, very very, I want to say, normal, something, you know, any one of us would have experienced. So kind of a whole gamut of what the different faiths encompass. So it was a good read. We've read. We're just in the process of picking out our book, and I think it's going to be People of the Book. It's a novel. So it sounds very interesting. I read the synopsis of that. So, and then we've read The Girl from Foreign, which we all really liked. So it's really, you know, we're not focused on any one faith. The goal is to develop understanding between different faiths. And, you know, there's a lot of socializing. There's a lot of, you know, connecting. We're starting to, you know, build bridges. We're inviting each other to each other's events. So I think it's a very positive thing on the community as a whole.
Yeah.
And a bunch of women are doing it.
So what is a typical book club day or meeting gathering look like?
Well, we usually meet on Thursdays every other month.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 6 to 8 in the evening.
Yeah, so I look forward to it, to kind of leave work a little early because I know I have to be in Minneapolis at 6. And we usually meet a campus room at the University of Minnesota. And there are snacks, so that's always good. And so, you know, it starts off with all of us kind of just chit-chatting, catching up with anything significant that has happened with us. It's a very lively conversation, very... very relaxed, in a relaxed environment. It's nothing academic. There's no debate. We're all about understanding each other's point of view. And we'll kind of start with off with that. We have a leader from each faith. So there are three women who are actually leading, moderating kind of the questions. And we'll all provide feedback and what we thought of the book and then anything related to the book that we've experienced. So a lot of times, you know, like in any friends gathering, you know, you start off with one topic and then you kind of go off on tangents. And and in this, the good thing is
we're not in a classroom situation. But,
mm-hmm.
So we'd end up discussing a lot. We would start with one thing, but we'd end up covering a whole lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I think we all enjoy it because we, you know, people keep coming back.
Yeah. So nobody's arguing and getting upset and walking out.
We haven't had that at all. And I hope we don't. Because those are kind of the ground rules they set in the beginning too.
Yeah.
And these are all, you know, educated adult women,
yeah.
You know, who have who are involved with the various different things in their communities.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of different aspects, a lot of different points of views in their faith, and everybody is very open that this is how it is in our faith. I mean, what does your faith say about it? It's not like, well, my faith says that, but your faith is wrong. You know, that is not the attitude, and that's not a welcome attitude
yeah.
in that situation.
That's great to hear because given, you know, the political climate and some of the rhetoric that we hear, I think we've kind of forgotten how to have dialogue with civility and compassion. And so
right.
It's great to see, you know, three faiths coming together to be able to have that conversation.
And it's amazing when you actually get out from that set mentality and open your mind and your heart, the number of things you learn. I mean, nobody's out there to, you know, convert you. Right.
Yeah.
It's all about learning
yeah.
And being understanding and
yeah.
having tolerance.
Yeah, there's definitely that fear of, oh my gosh, they're trying to convert me.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really is trying to do that.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's all about, you know, I mean, and to be honest with you, the few things that I've learned about the Jewish faith in the past 2-3 months, you know, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, wow, great. And a lot of times we focus on the similarities that we have.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
been a big topic. And, you know, somebody would be like, oh, yeah, we have that too. You
yeah.
know, and that happens more than
yeah.
not, you know. So,
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty
yeah.
amazing.
I heard about a lot of women going out and becoming election judges, right? RISE actually had made a call out to our community members to serve their cities and their in their civic engagement capacity. And you answered that call. You were an election judge. What was that like?
It was a very interesting experience. I felt like I was doing something, being, you know, simply active. I took the day off from work and I let my coworkers know what I was doing. They were like, oh, what are you doing on your PTO? I was like, I'm going to be an election judge. And they were like, oh, wow. You know, and they're like, oh, a volunteer.
Your honor.
Oh, yeah, your honor. And they're like, oh, volunteering? I was like, no, you get paid $10
yeah.
an hour. So it was very interesting in my precinct. You know, it was a very active day throughout. And it was good to see, you know, a lot of neighbors I ran into. And just learning about the process, too. You know, and we rotated the different at the different stations. So, you know, it was a good learning experience, too.
Yeah. I think we wanted to help people understand that American, that identity is not a typical stereotype.
Yeah.
And seeing Muslim women at the election polls, I think helps break that stereotype. So do you feel like you were able to really showcase that you are an American and that you understand the democratic process?
Definitely. I mean, you know, I feel like I've been blessed where I haven't had any negative experiences being a woman of color and a woman who covers. But I know I've had friends who was an election judge, got a couple of double takes, even unfortunately comments like, "Are you even an American? Can you even do this?" And she's like, "Yep, born and raised in the U.S." So I think it was good to be out there, and I'm sure if there were exit polls to ask, what did you think about this election judge? Yeah. You would have had some interesting comments. But yes, I think it was definitely a very good project, something we have not been encouraged to do before. Yeah. And I think just because RISE had that initiative, a lot of people came out. And we all had interesting stories to share, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was great. And yeah, I'm sure we'll continue to do that in the future, too, now that that barrier, you know.
Yeah. So, Samara, you are involved in a lot of things. You have a full-time job, you're a mom, you're volunteering, you're making a difference in your communities. I think a lot of us struggle with, how do you balance all of this? Like, where do you find the time?
You know, just like at work, too, you have so many different projects at the same time. There are deadlines for everything. You just have to kind of learn to prioritize and set expectations of yourself and then the people you need to deliver to as well. So with the volunteering too, obviously work is first. During the day I'm at work, I've set all the volunteer activities that I do on a regular basis. I've set my schedule as such that I will attend this meeting, you know, at a particular time, but a lot of the work I do outside on my own time. So I'm not going to places to do my work. I'll do it at my own time. Really, it's all about prioritizing. Like I said, you know, my children are older, so it's a different kind of busy now. I have to drive them around. But I don't have to hold their hand that much or, you know, that kind of thing. I have a supporting husband. So that plays a big role, obviously, because it's hard to do everything by yourself. And, you know, it does take a toll on yourself. And then just learning to kind of step back, too, when it gets a little too much. It was a little... that can be hard too, to say no.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't want to shortchange any project that you're working on. So yeah, it's interesting. It definitely keeps me busy. I really do enjoy it. I want to make a difference in the community that I live in. You know, our faith teaches us that, you know, the intention is everything. So the intention is to serve God. It's for the sake of Allah and for His creation.
So what advice would you give to women who are out in the community and want to do more? How can they get involved?
You know, I feel I've lived in the Twin Cities community for 20 years, and it is such a vibrant, it is such an active community. I mean, there are people doing great things everywhere. And I'm amazed by the number of things that are going on in the Twin Cities. There's a lot of opportunity. Everybody's always looking for volunteers, for help. If you can't commit to something on an ongoing basis, there's a lot of projects that are, you know, just short term. So my advice would be, look at what you are good at. Look at what is important to you. Of course, look at what works for you in terms of, you know, the logistics and all of that. So you'll definitely find something that you can make a difference in.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, make friendships, because that's the other thing. I've met some great people. I've made some, you know, wonderful friendships in the work that I've done.
Great. So who inspires you today and why?
Yeah, honestly, you definitely inspire me.
Okay.
I'm not just saying that.
Not me.
you do as a friend. You know, we've been friends for 17 years, and I've seen you grow and take risks, and I'm really impressed by that, because we started off very similar, have similar backgrounds, similar careers.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you really do. You have really made me see that, you know, first you believe in yourself, right? And then go out after. You have to take that risk. So definitely you're one of the people I continue to. Our friendship, I think, has grown and strengthened. So alhamdulillah, thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Muslim women here, you know, do, and not just women, you know, I see people, I mean, my husband, he's a community activist, you know, he does a lot of things. So I think we're a great team in that sense, because if I'm involved with something, he understands, you know, what I'm doing. So that definitely helps. So yeah, I mean, I don't want to name one, you know, particular woman, but there are a lot of people you see and who come from similar backgrounds like me, who have children, who have, you know, careers, and they're doing wonderful things and giving back to the community. So you're like, yeah, I can do it too.
Yeah. So tell me something that's unique and true about yourself that probably nobody would guess.
I don't know. I mean, I think people usually don't know. A lot of people think I grew up in Minnesota, or I grew up, or I was born in California, or, you know, a lot of people at work think that too. So when I tell them about my background, they're like, oh, you know, I thought you always lived here or you were born here.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing. I love historical fiction.
Mm.
So, yeah. You know, and I love to learn different languages. I have yet to follow through on that, but I do. In college, I took French and I haven't used it, so I've forgotten it.
Yeah.
I'm watching this Turkish historical fiction drama right now, so I'm really into Turkish right now. So I am actually, whenever I do get time, I look up websites and I'm trying to practice some Turkish.
Okay.
So I would love to travel. I love to travel and, you know, experience different cultures. So I think maybe that's one thing people wouldn't know, that not just for the sake of traveling and doing touristy things, I really like to learn about different cultures.
Yeah. And how do your kids sort of share that passion?
They do. They, you know, they started watching, I've gotten them hooked on this historical fiction drama too. So it's really neat because it's, even though it is a drama, it is mostly fiction, but there is some truth to it, and kind of makes you see our roots, because it goes back to, you know, Islamic history and stuff. So the kids have gotten involved in that and have shown interest in traveling to Turkey and experiencing, you know, a lot of the history that Turkey has. Yeah. So
any last piece of advice or parting words?
I think advice to myself and first would be, you know, be thankful for what you have. We live in a great community. We have a lot of things that people, even in the U.S., wouldn't have. So we live in such a community. So just always being thankful and counting your blessings. And then, you know, taking it as it is, being flexible. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to have goals, but I think it's very important to have flexibility and adaptability too. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you, Samara. It was wonderful having this conversation with you. I think it's really important for people to hear some of the stories of our Shiros, and we loved hearing about all the work that you do, what you're giving back, and the advice that you have for our community. So, thank you to Blue Cross Blue Shield Minnesota for funding the Shiros project. To learn more about Shiros and Reviving Sisterhood, visit us at www.revivingsisterhood.org. Find us on social media at Reviving Sisterhood on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you.